The Public News Service Daily Newscast for April the 3rd, 2020. I'm Mike Clifford. The New York Times reporting that Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, is putting himself in the midst of the COVID-19 crisis. They cite a recent example where the federal government's emergency manager called Kushner to get the go-ahead to announce he'd use wartime production powers to produce 60,000 badly needed coronavirus test kits. The New York Times reports that Kushner gave the thumbs up, and among those surprised by the announcement was President Donald Trump. Minnesota lawmakers are being asked to approve $100 million in emergency funding for people who can't pay their rent during the pandemic, Mike Bowen reports for PNS.
The group say despite the federal stimulus package and a separate relief plan approved by the Minnesota legislature, the Family Homeless Prevention and Assistance Program is being overlooked and needs an infusion of money. Ann Mavity of the Minnesota Housing Partnership says many affected by the downturn have already missed their April housing payment and could see that debt grow in the coming months.
It could be a cascade of folks that, just by the math, on a minimum wage salary, can just not catch up with several months in back rent.
She says even if the governor's moratorium on evictions is extended past April 30th, these low-wage workers could be forced from their homes after the pandemic for owing back rent. Some lawmakers have questioned the proposal's price tag, but Mavity says they don't know yet how big the problem will be, and any leftover money can be returned to the general fund.
The call for action comes as roughly 250,000 Minnesotans have filed for unemployment assistance in recent weeks. Massachusetts lawmakers considering a bill to get business interruption insurance to cover the economic losses from COVID-19, particularly to help restaurants and other small businesses.
It's a second such bill in the country, with the first from New Jersey. Massachusetts State Senator Jamie Eldridge is sponsoring the legislation and says he got the idea after going to a restaurant a few weeks ago, the last night people could dine out in the Bay State.
I was at a restaurant and was speaking to the waitress. She said, yep, tonight's my last day. I'm being laid off. And the owner of the restaurant happened to be there and felt very upset about it and was closing some of his other restaurants. And it really just hit home how quickly this is going to affect, especially the restaurant industry.
Eldridge says he also spoke with an attorney and friend who had heard similar concerns from restaurant clients. Their business interruption insurance wouldn't cover them if they closed because viruses were excluded starting in 2007. The bill, SD 2888,
a record number of Massachusetts residents filed unemployment claims last week, more than 180,000. Of those, the most claims came from the food and accommodations sector. This is PNS. Like many states, Wisconsin is trying to function during the pandemic with workers and students connecting online in their homes. But there are fears a lack of broadband will leave rural residents behind. State Broadband Director James McCallum says the coronavirus crisis adds urgency to an issue that the state has been trying to fix.
The state has been focused on filling in those unserved gaps for some time now, and that is an issue that we've been focused on. And it does take time, but it's really kind of exacerbated or highlighted in times like these.
Wisconsin recently handed out $24 million in broadband grants for underserved areas, the largest amount in state history, but McCallum says that still does not keep pace with funding current requests. Clean energy advocates in New York say the budget just passed by the legislature this week there includes reforms needed to ensure the state can reach its clean energy goals.
The Climate Leadership and Community Protection Act, signed into law last year, requires the state to achieve 70% renewable energy by 2030. According to Ann Reynolds, who heads the Alliance for Clean Energy New York, more than 60 renewable energy projects already have contracts and could start construction, but are going through the permitting and review process.
This bill streamlines that, improves the process, and will hopefully get people to work building wind and solar projects.
She adds the bill also maintains New York's strong environmental and public participation standards. I'm Andrea Sears reporting.
Advocates say renewable energy siting and transmission reforms in the budget bill will help jumpstart New York's economic recovery once the COVID-19 pandemic is over. an elementary school getting recognition for more than just education. The Virginia Pollinator Smart Program announcing the Coble Elementary School gets the state's first gold-certified pollinator-friendly award for a solar array. Solar sites like Coble include acres of native plants and grasses to attract endangered pollinators like butterflies. Lisa Mattson is with Sun Tribal Solar.
Our food crops rely on pollinators for promulgation. Pollinators are in terrible danger right now, and we all have an obligation to do what we can to bring them back.
And finally, if you're headed out to use trails or open space this weekend, outdoor experts say you should make the health of others your number one priority. Terry Owens leads outings for the Rio Grande chapter of the New Mexico Sierra Club.
This pandemic that we're seeing is life and death for a lot of people. So we want to conduct ourselves in a way that is respectful of those that we're sharing the outdoors with.
Users should follow rules issued by the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. I'm Mike Clifford. Thanks for wrapping up your week with Public News Service. We are member and listener supported and online at publicnewsservice.org.